Today we'll be in part two of humility in our relationships and still with the wife to the husband. So I think there's maybe one more on this and then we'll switch over to the husband, to the wife. And we'll keep going. Today is Ephesians 5:22. I think we'll get through verse 24 maybe today if we make it there. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, it simply means that we can confess our sins and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And that aspect alone is how we are able to also walk in the fruits of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit can teach our human spirit, and how we can even glorify God. So a very important thing. And God gave us the grace to do that. So let's take care of that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time that we always have, an intimate time in your word. We consider it a precious time because we know that the days are short. We know that our time on this earth is short. And we just ask that we can have the continued perseverance and stamina to make it through and have the guidance that you always give us to be able to learn more and more as you provide your word to us. We thank you for all these things you do for us, and we ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we've been talking about humility, and we kind of introduced it a while back, and remember that had to do with a large part of, I feel like, the Christian life is humility. We kind of introduced it when we got into verse 21, which was a general being subject to others in relationships, just in general. And so that was a mindset that we have as Christians, as unto the Lord, and the biggest part of that was always to have our priorities straight. And so if we have our relationship correct with the Lord, we can have, of course, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And also the, I think the word is what really gives us the mindset to have the humility in the first place. So that's that change of thinking that we grow into. So, and we introduced that. And then we got to the wife's role in the marriage, and the major concept here is in verse 22, which says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." And I don't know if you remember, but I said that this verse hinges on the same word in verse 21, which is hupotasso, and that's the subject. And I just want to read it again so we just have it in our brains, because this is the main word that's kind of guiding these next verses here. It says the meaning here is to place or rank under, to subject to. And if you remember, this is referring to God's arrangement of mankind in his design, in his structure, we could call it, how he's designed things. And also part of it is submitting to that arrangement. And really, that's God's plan. You know, that's God's plan for your life. And as we go through this, I've been trying to show you that there is huge benefits to doing just that. I know the world will tell you otherwise. You know, it's kind of a bad word when you talk about submitting to the husband's authority nowadays. But that's not how God intended it to be. He intended it to be a challenge. He intended it to be a responsibility for the man. He intended it to be something that is a blessing to the wife. And he intended it to create an atmosphere not only of love, but of protection, of freedom for the wife to function freely and feel comfortable within that realm. And also just for the genuine happiness of a wife, a woman in a relationship. And that's something that's very important, because you know, for one, it's getting harder and harder to find people that understand the woman's role in general. And so that's why this word to subject is an important role. And by submission or to subject to, don't ever forget that this is a voluntary subjection. You know, I could preach on it. You say, well, my pastor told me to do, I got to do this. It's in the word. You know, we could do that. You know, at times we do. But this has to come from you. It has to come from the individual. It's got to come from your soul. It's got to come from a desire that you want to be in a place where the scripture, where God's word tells us that we should be. And you're all at different levels. I understand that. I'm at a different level than you, and you're at a different level than your neighbor. But the reality is it still takes that willingness to submit, because that's really the only way it works. It truly works, is to be willing to and open to walking down that road that God leads us down. So can't be forced by the husband, although there are many husbands that try to force this. Can't be forced. And I mentioned earlier that it doesn't matter even if he is even functioning as unto the Lord when it comes to doing his part. Or whether he's not, because what matters is what decisions is the wife making within that relationship. And I wanted to make that clear, because as we study this, it's easy for the husband to point to the wife and the wife to point to the husband. I know that. But I think we all have our own individual responsibility, right? As women, as men, as God has given us abilities that are unique and different, and not a part of the woman and not a part of the man. And we're trying to expound on that and bring that out, the God-given roles to make things function properly. Because think about the marriage. We're talking about the stability of a nation here. The stability of a nation. This is why nations prosper, is because it starts with the family unit. And when that starts to break down, which Satan loves to do, he can tear down a whole nation, tear down freedom, remove freedom by removing the authority in each individual thing that we looked at, the divine institutions. And that really starts with at the bottom level, the individual, but we can see the family is next. The family is next in that list. So he'll try everything that he can to, I mean, you know, you ask any of these young girls today, this kind of stuff that we're talking about, and they seem so far removed on the role of a woman. And this is biblical. This isn't things that we're making up or we're just trying to teach because we think that we should. This is from God. And I think that women need to know, and men need to know this, because if we can't bring ourselves to this point, and then I'm referring to before we get married. If we don't understand this before we get married, we probably shouldn't get married. Because if we can't submit, if we can't love in the way that the scripture tells the man to love, we shouldn't get married. Because we should be warned. A lot of us weren't warned, right? We had to walk. We had to learn. We had to hit our head many times. We're still hitting our heads, right? We could say that. But we're growing. We're learning. We're understanding what God wants us to do. So that's why it's so important to focus on the individual in this study. And it's an individual thing, I feel. So even though it functions as a team, it's a unit, but in that team, there's an individual responsibility that comes out, right? So because anything that is forced, as you know, is done with the improper motivation. So, and that's why God really gave us all a free will. So we aren't forced to do something we don't want to do, but instead it comes from your own desire. So, and remember, your volition is what plays a major, major part in that big battle going on between good and evil, Satan and God. There's a conflict here, and that family unit plays a huge part in the battle, whether it be you know, and at this point, you know, in our society, family, that doesn't always mean a man, a wife, and children. family is different for a lot of people, but there's still these biblical concepts that we need to know about so we can fulfill our role and protect ourselves. Because once we get under the realm of protection, under God's given abilities and know of what we're supposed to do, there you go. You've put that protection around you, that force field that God gives us, that realm of protection. So that's why your volition is so important. And also because humility is directly always related to authority. It always is. It has to be. Whether it be God's authority in your own personal life, whether it be the husband's authority, whether it be your boss's authority, whether it be the authority of the police, the government, the whoever. You get the point, right? The grandparents when it comes to grandchildren. There's always an authority somewhere in our life, and if we understand these concepts, we can make right decisions instead of lose future options that we have because we don't understand the basic concepts of the authority principles that God has given in His Word. And so part of that is that we hope and desire that our children do is that they respond. They respond to the authority. They know what it is. They recognize it. You know, that's I feel that's what the one of the good things of the military, right? We sometimes kids, we don't know what we're doing. We just maybe don't have a course. Maybe we do. But the military, I feel like, gives you a foundation of what authority is. And so that's a good thing to learn. And it's not the only place to learn it. It starts in the home, right? It starts with the parents. So sometimes it was there were people that didn't learn that, and you see them going in and learning it as they go. And it's possible. But a lot of times it didn't work out very well because they weren't able to orient to that authority. They weren't able to submit. They didn't understand that concept of I've got to listen and I've got to do this. That was far removed, and the end result is being processed out with something on your record that you would prefer not to have. And now you've got to go explain this to an employer of what the problem was. So it's not a good place to be. All it boils down to is humility. Humility. And so that's why part of, I feel like my role, any role of a leader, must include God's unconditional love. It's got to. It has to. That's just part of the territory. Comes with the territory. If you're going to lead, if you're going to do anything that has to do with being an example or you know, just being around people that you have to do something that involves work, that involves grandchildren, that involves your own children, you have to have this unconditional love if anyone is going to respond to the authority that you have. You've got to. Because there has to be an understanding. There has to be an understanding that there's a growth process involved in that response. There's not just a response. It's not just an automatic thing like that. And as we'll see, when we get to the man, there's a responsibility there on the guys. We actually have a bigger responsibility, I feel, than the woman in this. Because the response must come from something that has already started. And we see that the man is commanded to love the wife no matter what, no matter the response, no matter where she is in her spiritual life, no matter if she is one way or another way, our mandate is to love. And if we don't love in this unconditional divine love that God gives us, what ends up happening is we draw out a reaction instead of a response. And that's what we don't want, right? We don't want the reaction, we want the response, because we want the proper function. And believe it or not, the proper function of the wife falls on the man. It falls on the man. That's our responsibility. Although I don't think you can remove the responsibility of the individual decisions of the wife. But there's a process, right? There's a process of Eve going from making that wrong decision, leading all the way up to that. She can take responsibility for that decision, but Adam can take responsibility for getting her up to that decision. So it takes two. It takes two. And if we can have that realm of authority, that love that we can envelop them in, well, maybe there won't be the leading up to process that we can see in Eve. She was straying. She wasn't under the authority of Adam. She got out from under the authority of God. And we can see that in her interaction with Satan. So, and it's really no different in the wife's response to the Lord and her husband. Very much similarity there. Very similar response there. And you will never be able to respond properly to your husband unless you're properly responding to the Lord. That this is a relationship thing. We can't understand love unless we understand God's love. We can't understand this response unless we understand our response to God's authority. That's where it all begins, right? That's our model. This is the model that we have to start with, and then we bring it into the family. This is a growing process. No one that gets married ever starts on with any of this. We all start from ground zero. We all start with ground. I don't care how mature you are. Usually, when you get into marriage, it's a new experience. It's something that you've never been through. It's something that you have to learn. It's something that you have to adapt to. It's something that you have to get from the Scripture. That takes time. So that's why we're here. So that's why it must come from a decision from each person to respond to both. To both. There's responsibilities in each person. So being humble or obedient to any authority in any relationship must include your freedom to do so if it's going to be done as unto the Lord. That's the only way the Lord wants it done. If it's got to be forced, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. There's a grudge somewhere back there that you were forced to do it. That's not as unto the Lord. It's got to be a desire. That's that love relationship. And now I'm talking about this love relationship. See how the desire here radiates to the command that I have and the wife has? There's got to be a desire, a strong desire in your relationship with Christ before there can be a strong desire in that relationship with the husband or the wife. There has to be. Or otherwise, you know, you can't live the spiritual life if there's no strong love connection with God, with the Lord. Because that's really what drives us, what motivates us to serve. And I feel like part of the marriage is a service, isn't it? It's a service that we're serving in. It's part of the, it takes sacrifice. Like we know the fruits of the Spirit all take sacrifice. We know God's service takes sacrifice. We know anything that we do in this life takes sacrifice, whether it be your spiritual gift, whether it be, you name it, right? You name it. Everything that we do takes sacrifice. The marriage is no different. It's not something that's going to come the way we necessarily plan it out in our mind. It's going to come the way God plans it out. And we can only understand that if we're in the Word, constantly and consistently. So, and I wanted to refocus us on the wife's role here, because what seems to happen is when I talk about the wife being submissive to the husband, and like I said earlier, we can kind of switch our brains over to what the husband doesn't do, or that he should do, or that he doesn't pull us into the bargain. And I'll tell you right up front that that's the wrong application. It's the wrong application. Because remember, we're talking about a role-specific thing. When we die, and when we get to heaven, and God asks each one of us, how did you function within your marriage? I said, well, she wasn't responding. that's really no excuse for me not to fulfill my role as the husband to love her. There's no excuse there. Do you see the problem? So at the same time, I understand that if there's anything obviously done out of biblical standards when it comes to anyone's husband, you don't respond. You don't follow. That should be a given, right? We're all Christians and we have a conscience. If there's anything that goes against Scripture, we should know better that that's something that we can't partake in. So why is that the wrong application to immediately say, well, so-and-so isn't doing their part? Well, because this verse has to do with the kind of thinking wives are to have, and it's commanded by God, and it's not to the husband. Or it's not coming from the husband. That's one thing that a lot of guys like to do. They know the general concept here in the Scripture, and they push that on the wife, but they don't understand the underworkings of the biblical concepts of what's happening. They're just like, you know, that's it. They understand the authority, the subjection part, but that's where it stops. It's a lot deeper than that, and they lose perspective, and they lose their role, the responsibility of their own role in God's plan. So, and we know that God's commands are perfect. But I didn't say the wife or the husband were perfect. God's commands are perfect. And we've got to remember that. So, and it's no different with any other command in Scripture. Because like any other truth we hear, what's the end goal? Any command that I've ever taught on, what's the end goal? Application. We want to be able to make that part of our mind. We want to be able to apply it in such a way that glorifies God. You know, in a way, this really, of course, it has something to do with the partner. But at the same time, it's also detached from the partner. You're not doing it for the partner. You're doing it for the Lord. This is, did you see how the verse started? It's as unto, well, let's look. Isn't that what it's telling us? Look at there. Wives, be subject to your husband, to your own husband, as to the husband. Whoa, wait a minute. That must be the New World Translation. Let's try that again. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Look at there. It doesn't say as to your husbands. It says as to the Lord. So this goes back to not doing it for the husband. This is a personal thing that is directly between you and God. It has nothing to do with your husband. See, the service comes in when we're glorifying God, and the result is the blessings to the husband. Yes, it's a great thing when you can see it functioning, but it's still, we need to, both, I think both parties need to understand that this isn't, the focus is always God. Here, that's the underlying focus. We want to serve. We want to be obedient. And the result is that God can provide that, but only with putting Him number one. And both parties have to do that to have this functioning correctly. So each party is held responsible in that part right there, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. So I wonder if I would have left that, if y'all, anybody would have noticed that was wrong. So I would have seen a lot of elbows. See, I told you, boom, hitting their husband. As unto the husband. So, you see the little word as, and I put it in green just for that aspect, because this is an interesting word in the Greek. It's a comparative particle, and it's used for a comparison. It's to compare what this subjecting yourself to your husband should look like as to the Lord. This is a big deal. I mean, you know, we don't think about, oh, you know, he's just, yeah, been married to that guy for so long. This is as unto the Lord. This is, there's your responsibility. There's who it's to. It's not from the husband. It's from the Lord. And it's just like anything else we do, isn't it? as unto the Lord. Everything that we do is as unto the Lord. There's your service. There's talk about sacrifice. There's a lot of women that are doing this as unto the Lord. The husband's getting the benefit from it, and he's not even doing his responsibility. Talk about glorifying God. It's unique. But she knows what she's doing. And really what I'm referring to is priorities, right? And that I think the priorities, what follows is the priority and the function of a marriage defined by the Lord. So this isn't my idea or your idea of what a wife or husband should be, but it's based on the Word. And really what I'm referring to goes back to Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. Remember that word, fitting? What you should be picking up on these things is that the end of the sentences are either as unto the Lord, as is fitting to the Lord. And remember what that word meant, doing what is fitting, proper, right to the Lord. That comes from your personal love relationship with Him. With Him. That's where that comes from. It's not going to come from your husband, because we can't bring it out of you. It's got to come from the Lord. It's got to come from that relationship. The motivation has to be the Lord. The Holy Spirit, it's always got to be there. Without that, the motivation will be here one day. Your husband will be doing everything he's supposed to do. And then all of a sudden it'll be right here because he's not doing anything that you thought he would do, or he's just being a horrible husband at that point. So you'll be constantly going up and down, up and down. But if it's as unto the Lord, you can stay consistent. Stay in the zone of serving, of being obedient, not to the husband necessarily, although that's a result, isn't it? Because you're serving the Lord. And that's why this is so beautiful. It's not necessarily a responsibility to the husband. It's a responsibility as unto the Lord. I think that's important. So you can see right here, this is what pleases God. This is just one of those things that pleases God. Another thing. So when you take the Word and you apply it to your life, there's always other people that benefit. There's always other people that benefit from it. In anything, right? In anything that we do. When you take the Word and you take that into your workplace, when you take that into your different associations around you and you're applying this, you're thinking with it, people are affected. Your friends, your coworkers, and bring it down to this level, wife, husband. People are affected in a positive way when you are applying the Word to your life. And look what the first person to receive the benefit is, obviously the wife. We're talking about the wife in this circumstance. If she applies this, she benefits first. Because this is a soul thing. This is a happiness thing. This is something that's between her and the Lord. An applicational thing. A contentment aspect of God's function specifically for her in the marriage. So, what's the secondary result? The husband benefits. This is where, by serving, by being obedient to the Lord and His authority, guess what ends up happening? She slides right into place in the marriage perfectly, just because she's modeling not what the husband said, but what the Lord said, what His Word tells us. And so that's why the design is so almost elusive, isn't it? But it's really, truly, it works, and it's amazing. So, and, you know, God knows that He created this, the marriage and this design specifically, this submission and this authority aspect, the helper role and the leader role. He understands that He created it so we can both be happy. We could both function at our best, and we could both be in a place in our lives where this is as unto the Lord. And really, this is the only way to properly do that. And we've got to recognize that. So there's blessings there. There's a lot of blessings to be had there. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are you holding up your end of the bargain when it comes to God's plan for your life? And that's anybody, right? And this, I think this stuff is applicable to us all in some way. Who knows? Maybe some of you get remarried. You never know. You have daughters, sons, people that aren't married yet. Or some of you are married. But either way, there's always something to gain from the Word. There always is. There's always some advice to give. There's always some insight to gather. And so that's why, you know, this stuff is always pertinent, I feel. So, now I know I mentioned there are plenty of wives out there that are serving the Lord obediently while the husband is taking a nap in the spiritual life. He's taking a break. He's not on board. The wife is doing her duty as unto the Lord. And I didn't give you a verse for that, but there is a verse for that. And so let's look at that. This is to anyone out there who this applies to. The wife is more focused, more dedicated, more stronger in a relationship with the Lord than the husband. This applies to that relationship. Because that should be the opposite in every single case. It's our responsibility to be farther along in the spiritual life. That's a responsibility. That's something that comes with the territory of being a leader. You have to know what you're talking about when it comes to your position. And we have to function in such a way that we lead. In other words, we're just a step ahead. That's how it works. 1 Peter 3:1, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Wow. So, that's a good verse. See, you know, there's I want to make a note now because our verse in Ephesians 5:22 and this verse both say be submissive to your own husband. And that's important. I feel like this is an important part. You see, your own husband. Why does it keep bringing out that little word own? Your own. You think, I know I got it, right? It's my husband. Well, here's the word. Your own. It means belonging to or being related to oneself, one's own distinct, private, or personal. This is a very, very personal thing. And it's just pointing out the obvious fact that this is an exclusive relationship. This is an exclusive thing. It's very exclusive. It doesn't apply to submitting or getting underneath someone else's authority. It says your own husband, your own. That's why that word keeps, tois idiois is the word. And there's actually even a definite article in the front of it. You see that? That's putting emphasis on the identification and the uniqueness of that husband and that role and what we are to do within those roles. So we were able to see what happens when you remove yourself from the authority. We saw that in Eve. She ended up actually submitting to Satan's authority, and the result was that she was deceived. So the lesson learned there, at least one of them, was that the dangers in removing yourself out from under the husband's protection is you begin to focus on what you don't have. Remember we discussed that when we talked about Eve? That's not a good place to be. When we begin to focus on what we don't have, we're in an area of danger. We need to put the yellow tape up and maybe the red tape. Because the danger, that's a dangerous area to be in, because you're desiring something that you don't need. You're desiring something that you don't have in your life. You're desiring something that God, that you may not even have the capacity for, but you still are desiring it. See, it's not a good place. Whether it be right or wrong, the desire is there. And it's not here in that relationship that you have currently. So, that's when you can easily take yourself, remove yourself out from your own husband's protection. Because you begin to focus on those other things. So that in Eve, the one tree that God told Adam not to eat of. He didn't tell Eve. He told Adam not to eat. Notice that. And Satan smartly exploited that need and was able to temporarily deceive Eve to think that her need could be satisfied. There is another part of the deception is that, yeah, you can get that. You know what? You should have that in your life. Whether you should or you shouldn't, isn't the point. The point is that Satan can get you into a place where you're vulnerable. That's the key. You may need that. You may desire it. And you may not have it. And Satan can use that and exploit that to get you to a place where to make you think that that can be met. It can be satisfied. And it can be had from another place outside of the realm of your own husband. And you could take that all the way to infidelity, right? But you see the point. We're not necessarily going that far with it. But it becomes, you know, it's a thought process. It started with Eve in her mind, and it went to the physical. So we've got to remember that this is a thought process. This is a thing that starts in your mind. You know, what we desire, what we long for, what we think we need, all starts up here. And there's a lot of people in this life that are very frustrated. Very, very frustrated because they live their life based on what they need, what they don't have, what they wish they had. You know what? The Christian is just the opposite. Should be. The Christian is just the opposite. God wants us to live with what we have, where we have it, how we have it, and be content, be satisfied, be full with what He has given us because of that relationship that we have within that realm of the marriage. So, see, when you start getting out of that contentment, out of that satisfaction, see where we go? We can easily go to wandering in our mind. Got to get back. So we don't want to go where Eve went. Because you could see that it went far outside of God's plan for her life and for Adam's. So, and this happens all the time in marriages. Wives focus on what they don't have, which removes them from God's authority and their husband's authority. And then the trap comes when they make the devastating decision to fill that need. Happens all the time. This is the basis for why many people get a divorce. They think they need something that they don't have in their husband. There you go. Well, guess where they messed up? The relationship with the Lord. That's where it all starts right there. If you're married, you're married. You made the decision to get married. So, guess what? Now, you've been given a new area to focus on a new role and a new service and a new place to be obedient in your life. It doesn't mean we can just start picking and choosing, marking off check boxes and say, okay, all these are not marked off, but these are. Too late for that. You're in the marriage now, and so this is where we are focused. So that definite article is important. And it's basically telling us there are no other authorities besides God's and your husband's that you submit to in marriage. In marriage. And of course, that doesn't mean that you don't have the humility to recognize your boss's authority over you or any legitimate authority over you, right? That's the first verse 21. It says we are to have humility to everybody. That's a general attitude. So, don't lose the focus there, but this is more of a submissive. This is a relationship. This is a little bit different. You see, it's a little more specific, role specific. So God told Adam, Adam told Eve, and Eve told Satan. So, but when it got to that point, we've already had a frustrated woman, is where we were at that point. Remember? So frustrations and lacking things in your relationship is no excuse for mental or physical infidelity. And that applies to the man as well. We find our satisfaction in the Lord. That's where we get it. And that takes sacrifice. You know, we all have a lust pattern. We have flesh. We have a sin nature that we have to deal with. We all understand that. We're all human. But at the same time, we know when we get out from the realm of where we should be. So it applies to both. But remember, there's always got to be that subjection first to the Lord. And only then will any of this make any sense to anyone. And you maybe then you'll realize that I'm really not making all this up. You've got to be subjected first to the Lord. You've got to be. You can't focus on the husband first. Focus on yourself. If anybody's having a problem in marriage, anybody that hears this, anywhere, focus on yourself first, that relationship with the Lord, and this will come after, right after. Because you're following, you're doing, you're being obedient. The result is blessings. Living a life as unto the Lord is part of that, what you're doing. So, and don't ever forget, remember that we had a few scriptures of the outcomes of having this divine humility we saw in Scripture. Listen to these. Honor, riches, wisdom, promotion. These things are huge. Who doesn't want these things? We all do. We're all human. We all want to prosper. We all want to have the wisdom to get through life. But these are the only thing. These things are only attainable through doing the things that we've talked about, the Lord's way. That's it. That's the only way we can attain those things that are out amazing. Sure, we say, yeah, so-and-so attained this. They, you know, they're very lucrative and they did this and they attained all this wealth. They're married, they have kids. But you know what? If it wasn't done in God's timing and in His way, in the proper way, there's no happiness that can come with that. Can't have that happiness. You may have the things. You may have a wife there. You may have the kids. You may have the money, the wealth, the whatever the picture throws at you that you have. But if you haven't done it in a specific way that God outlines in His Word, you're not going to be happy. You'll be frustrated because you're always going to be trying to find that, meet that need that you can't ever meet in this world. You're looking in the wrong places. You're looking in the wrong places. Only through the Lord can we have joy and blessing, actually. So, and then it says, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, let's go back to that, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So let's look at they may be won. And maybe we should start that on the next service. I think that'd be a good one to start on the next service. They may be won. So you didn't know you can win over a negative husband, but you can. That's what this verse is saying. Winning them over. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for just giving us the ability to be here, the health. We pray for all of our church family and extended church family who are in any kind of health problems, issues. We know that everything is in Your hands, in Your timing. And these things are meant to test us. They're meant to have us lean on and rely on You in these circumstances. We know that You hold life in Your hands. We know that You hold health in Your hands. And we just thank You for that aspect. And thank You for giving us the time to be here and to study Your Word. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.